Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another exciting adventure on Internet Radio. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. My name is Andy Kimball, broadcasting back in our Los Angeles, California studios here in California, waiting for Amanda Love to join us from her studios in right outside of my studio assistant here in London. Yes, in the UK. Yes. I can't remember where, but I can't remember actually the town where Amanda is in the UK. She's about 2 hours outside of London. I'll have to get that straight so I can actually give her proper address, as they say. And we do have Cornell Butler joining us from Orlando, Florida. He just joined us on the phone line.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Cornell?
What's up, Andy? How you doing, brother? How's everything?
Good to be back here. As you know, I was on the road. Now you're on the road. We did our shows remotely the past week, and actually even a few weeks previous to that, I was on the road doing the Andy and Amanda Show and collecting various information to talk about with Amanda. And great to have you joining us here again, Cornell. How is your trip down to Orlando?
It's on the Andy and Amanda tour, man. I just ran into we'll talk off air, but I just ran into the MTV talent coordinator.
Oh, really?
Yes,
that's exciting.
But we'll talk off the air on that one.
Yes, absolutely, Cord. I look forward to catching up and seeing what that was about. As a lot of you know who are listening to the show via podcast or live, speaking of which, if you're listening live, you can join us. We'd like it to at 515-605-9888. But getting back to what I was saying, we're looking, you know, we've been doing the show now for, gosh, coming on a year and a half, and pretty soon anyway, it'll be a year and a half, and we're looking to move this program. But we love our existence here on the Internet and our growing audience by the thousands, 22 countries listening to our voices, which is exciting and fun, and we're glad and hope that you're sharing the experience and liking what we do here, which we have no idea actually what we're doing, but it seems to be working, whatever that is. Maybe we're better off. But we're looking to promote and grow this show via taking it to commercial radio or satellite radio, or just grow what we're doing on the Internet. But we're aggressively seeking a foundation to move the show to the next level now. So when Cornell mentions that, that's when he says, let's talk off the air. That's probably the impetus for that. Anyway, Cornell, how's it going down over, wherever it is, in Orlando?
Oh, it's going great down here. The weather is kind of skeptical because I don't know if it's tornado or some type of rain, but it's very sunny out here, but and cloudy at the same time. But it's unbelievable heat down here, Andy. Every morning I go to Wawa and get me a whole glass cup of ice and water. That's all I can drink down here, next to my bourbon.
You have a Wawa there?
Yeah, it's a Wawa. Yep.
Is that cool in Orlando? Or for those, of course, around the world don't know what Wawa is. Or, as a matter of fact, a good part of the country, most of the country, Wawa is a convenience store. They also have an amazing counter where one can get. There's Amanda. She just joined us. One can get hoagies. What's a hoagie? They say sandwiches, long roll. And a variety of snacks, and even now they even have hamburgers and stuff like that. But it's a convenience store. You can go buy a quart of milk and that kind of thing. But it is from Pennsylvania, and it is an amazing place. Man, I live out here. I'm from Philadelphia, from where Wawa originated, and it was the Wawa coffee was incredible. And you go to Wawa every day for something.
Andy, speaking of that, I'm stealing some of my wife's Wawa coffee right now.
we need to talk to Wawa about. Hey, there's Amanda.
Hello.
I heard that beautiful voice. How you doing, babe?
Aww.
How's it going?
I'm good, my darlings. How are you both?
Doing
hey, great. Amanda. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Woo! Internet issues or what? That's crazy. Sorry, guys.
Hey, don't worry.
As they say, better late than never. You know what they say about that. But great.
Oh, I know.
Great to be able to hook up again back from Los Angeles. And you, Amanda, I was saying earlier in the show before you joined us, because every time I say, hey, Andy here, and it's out of Hollywood, California. Amanda, and I'm like, Amanda is our the town that you're actually. Where are you broadcasting from? Where is that? What is it called?
My hometown.
Yeah.
Okay, so the town I'm broadcasting from is Cheltenham. Cheltenham. It's written like Cheltenham, but it's pronounced Cheltenham. Yeah.
Cheltenham. And that's
awesome.
Where our friend of the show, Mark Lester, has his Mark Lester, who starred in Oliver way back when he was a kid, and has an incredible osteopathic clinic there. And that, he's in that town. He's been on our show. We're going to get him back on. But a good friend of the show's. And he's in that same town, right? And it's called the Charlton Clinic. Mark's, for folks who have live in that area or who are even outside of that area, he is a very, very good, very talented osteopathic, expert, physician, orthopedic person, you know, back pain, acupuncture, blah, blah, blah. But for those of you in the UK, there's a lot of people listening in the UK. You should look Carlton Clinic up and talk to Mark and tell him that you heard about his clinic on the Andy and Amanda show. So, Amanda, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, my darling. I was just catching up on all the news, and I was just – it's so tragic, a lot of the stuff that's been covered today and the past few days. And there's some concerns as well regarding the vaccine that made me a little nervous. But so first of all, if it's okay to get into that with you boys about the news, do you want me to go ahead with that right now?
Yep, just dive right in. I guess this is a Monday show, 5 o'clock somewhere. It is 5 o'clock in the UK, am I right? Just after. So let's have at it.
So on Thursday we had a mass shooting that went on.
Really?
It was awful. So basically what happened was five people, including a three-year-old girl, were killed in a six-minute mass shooting in Plymouth. And apparently it's been classed as the worst event since 2010. And there's two more people injured. The attacker was a 22-year-old guy named Jake Davidson. He turned the gun on himself after the shooting. So he went to a residential area and was shooting around there, and then he drove to a nearby park and started shooting people there. So, you know, considering guns is not a thing here, it's quite a tragedy for us when something like this happens. It says, despite officers arriving at the scene within 6 minutes, the gunman had already killed his 51-year-old mother at a property in Biddick Drive before going outside and immediately shooting dead 3-year-old Sophie Martin and her 43-year-old father in the street on Friday. Eyewitnesses Sharon, who lives nearby, did not want to give her full name, described shouting followed by gunshots and told the BBC how the gunman kicked in the door of the house and then randomly started shooting. It's such an awful thing. They had a minute's silence for them. Boris Johnson had a minute silence. It's so tragic when something like this happens anywhere in the world. But, you know,
it is. Especially in the UK there, where you are, man. Yeah. It has one of the lowest gun homicide rates in the world, your home country.
Yeah.
So this is exceptionally rare.
Yeah, apparently he used a pump-action shotgun. So, like I said, these things quite often are getting on the black market and things like that, you know, brought in from other countries. But, you know, they're now saying that they need to review gun license process. So the police forces in England and Wales are being asked to review current firearm application processes in the wake of the Plymouth mass shooting. Questions remain over why Jake Davidson, who killed five people and himself on Thursday, had a shotgun license. The Home Office is preparing new guidance to ensure higher standards of decision-making around applications, and there will be advice on carrying out on social media checks on people wanting to own a firearm or shotgun. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting because I'm not very much aware of that you could own a firearm or shotgun unless – I don't know if you live in a more even rural area, like in the countryside, if you're a farmer or something like that, whether I should imagine you do have the ability to have a gun. But that's all I know. So it'd be interesting to see how he got this license for his gun, what kind of person he is, you know, his background, and to cover this, because I think it needs to be made more aware of the UK about how gun violence is and where these guns are coming from. And especially finding out the statistics as well with all of this, because it's very grey area when it comes to most recent statistics with gun shootings and things like that. And they do go on We've had them in my hometown and various other places. London, of course, is notorious for a lot of crime and violence, especially with knives and things like that. But you do have gun shootings there. So, yeah, that was very tragic news. And on Friday, I saw this in the headlines, and there were so many other things to cover, and we were having such a good time with you being at the airport.
That's
why I would check on it over the weekend. And now, you know, it's interesting to, again, cover this and see where it's going with the gun side of things, because I'm so grateful. I've said this before many a time. I'm so grateful for the gun laws that we have here, and, you know, that you can't just go and easily apply for a gun license. They're very strict on things like that. There's no need for it here. So, you know, it's a scary thing. It really is a scary thing. The whole gun thing is a very scary thing. So, yeah, we'll cover more of that over time. But, yeah, the other thing was about the COVID situation and vaccines and things like that. So the UK has now recorded another 28,438 coronavirus cases and a further 26 deaths within 28 days of a positive test. People in England and Northern Ireland who have had two COVID jabs will now not need to isolate for 10 days if they have contact with a positive case. They are instead advised to take a PCR test, wear a face covering in enclosed spaces, and limit contact with other people, especially the clinically vulnerable. And people who test positive or show symptoms will still be legally required to self-isolate for 10 days. Doctors' Union, the British Medical Association, urges people to remain cautious as rules change, saying we're still in a precarious situation. And they're going on then to say about the evidence regarding women, and it's a bit uncomfortable for guys, okay, for men. I know men don't feel very comfortable with this, but women's menstrual cycles.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, I want to dive deeper into that.
The UK's medicines regulator and their healthcare products agency has issued an update to reassure women concerned about vaccine side effects. Now, the reason this struck me, boys, okay, is since I've had the second vaccine, I don't like to get this personal on a show, but my first menstrual cycle since I've had the vaccine has been very, very early, and I'm usually on time or within a day or two, okay? So I was really shocked to have mine so early. And then I saw the news today, and I was like, huh, okay. So it says it is reviewing reports of suspected side effects of menstrual disorders and unexpected bleeding following a COVID vaccine, but it makes clear that the evidence seen so far does not support a link between changes to menstrual periods and the vaccines, and a number of reports about menstrual disorders and bleeding is low in relation to the number of people vaccinated. And it adds, the menstrual changes reported are mostly transient in nature. There is no evidence to suggest the COVID-19 vaccines will affect fertility and the ability to have children. But it says any woman who, since getting the vaccine, sees persistent changes to her periods that are unusual, or has any new bleeding after the menopause, should contact their doctor. And they're closely going to be reviewing reports of suspected side effects and menstrual disorders. And so they're going to be keeping an eye on things, but they're still reassuring or trying to reassure pregnant women and, you know, those worried about getting the vaccine that there's still no strong evidence yet. And there's no real increased risk of miscarriage, stillbirth and other things like that, other birth complications. So, you know, I understand how nervous they are. It's a new life that you're carrying, you know. It could potentially, you just don't know if a vaccine could affect that in any way, and clearly they don't have a 100% knowledge of this either, because they're still learning how the vaccine is affecting us all and blah blah blah. They don't have that crystal ball to say these things can't truly happen. And like with anything that gets put out there, we talked about this so many times, that anything could affect anyone in any way, because there's no 100% success rate with absolutely everyone on this planet. That's just, it's not possible. But, you know, I think it's just things to keep in mind, and I can understand people being so nervous about it. But, you know, this is the only thing that's made me nervous today, was reading that, because obviously I want my body to be fine. I want to make sure that if there's any issues that I have, that I can find a way to heal them, and hopefully a doctor can heal them. So, yeah, this does make me nervous. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I should be keeping an eye on things. And no doubt you and our listeners, whether you want to or not, will find out some more information about my journey with this.
I will look into this and keep our I'll see how Cornell, I've never noticed the difference. How about you?
What you mean?
It's crazy. Oh, do you know what else they're saying in the news? Would you let a robot lawyer defend you? So they're talking about robot lawyers, okay? So it says, could your next lawyer be a robot? It sounds far-fetched, but artificial intelligence, AI software systems, computer programs that can update and think by themselves are increasingly being used by the legal community. Joshua Brider describes his app, Do Not Pay, as the world's first robot lawyer. It helps users draft legal letters. You tell its chatbot what your problem is, such as appealing against a parking fine, and it will suggest what it thinks is the best legal language to use. People can type in their side of an argument using their own words, and software with a machine learning model matches that with a legally correct way of saying it, he says. The 24-year-old and his company are based in Silicon Valley in California, but the firm's origins go back to London in 2015 when Mr. Brider was 18. Interesting, right?
Mm.
Wow.
But my thing is this, how about you in a bad situation and his battery dies?
Oh, you know, it's awful when the battery dies, I agree. Oh, that sucks. Yeah, that's just that. That was entertaining. There's actually some funny things in the news today as well. Actually, I was pleasantly surprised because you know we're always reporting about sad stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This made me smile. Okay, there's this map. Okay, it says UK's rude place names to be toured by a man on a moped. So a moped over here, I don't know if they call it the same in the US, is one of those like. Motorbikes, motorcycles, that is, how do you describe it? It's kind of like a smaller version of a proper motorcycle. I don't know how to describe
A unicycle is one wheel thing. I don't know what you mean, though.
It's kind of like, I don't know,
A four-wheel.
I don't know how to describe it. I probably have to send a picture to you boys on our work thingy on online.
I got a 10-speed bike.
Yeah, it's like a 50cc. They call it a 50cc moped. So I don't know. I guess it's not as powerful as a proper motorbike, and they class that as a moped. But anyway, this man is he's embarking on a 1,800-mile tour on his moped to the places with the most rudest and funniest names. He's doing it for a charity. And now, bear in mind, over the UK, we've got some really interesting names. I can't say some of them on the air, but there's some called, like, Butthole Lane. There's one called Shitterton.
Oh, I like that. Keep going. Now you're talking our language. Keep going.
Okay. There's actually one called Dolph.
These people are
hilarious. Yes. it's so funny. It says that Paul Taylor from Montage, Oxfordshire, is making the charity fundraising trip in memory of a friend who died of cancer. Oh, bless. His journey will begin in Shitterton, Dorset, on Wednesday, and it will take in locations such as Twat in Orkney and Booz in the Yorkshire Dales. So this is going to be hilarious. I'm going to be checking where this guy goes. It says there's a map showing the places of the most rudest names in the world. It's a world map. Oh, that's a lot of fun.
I'll
send it to you boys.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Please do. Please,
my goodness. That's hilarious. There's some rude names in my hometown. I will not go into them. But it's so funny.
Jeez. Are you hearing much about the United States withdrawal from Afghanistan and what's going on over there now with the know, they came into Kabul, the capital, and they're, you know, the Taliban is now, the deputy leader of the Taliban is now saying that it's time to provide for the people of Afghanistan and improve their lives. I don't know. I don't know. You know, there was a video clip that was released, I guess, just a couple of days ago, the day after a Taliban fighter seized the capital, which is Kabul in Afghanistan, and declared victory there. And now the U.S. troops are you know, taking control of just the airport, trying to get U.S. embassy employees and related, you know, folks that were doing business in Afghanistan on behalf of the United States, or translators and so forth, out of there safely. I mean, there's pictures of Afghan citizens clinging to the wheelbases of United States military transport aircraft as they taxi out to the runway, trying to get the hell out of there. But I don't know what.
Died, didn't they?
It's crazy, and you know, it's this had to be done, and you know, people say, oh boy, what a decision. Trump said, you know, that Trump said that Biden should resign because of his decision with Afghanistan. We've been there for 20 years. George Bush went into Afghanistan in 2001, 2002, right around there, 2002, I guess it was. So about 20 years we've been there, and the reason why we went in initially was to hunt for Osama bin Laden, which George Bush was unsuccessful in doing. Barack Obama came in and went into, you know, we were still in Afghanistan, but he did locate and they did execute Osama bin Laden, and they found him in Pakistan, not Afghanistan. And we've been in Afghanistan ever since. Many U.S. soldiers have been killed. Many Afghan citizens have been killed. It's been unstable. Yeah. Nobody has been able to create stability in Afghanistan. The Russians tried. Remember years ago, decades ago, the Russians invaded with tanks and the whole thing. They got out. Nobody was able to do anything there. And what do we, you know, what would we expect us to do? Just go there and have no game plan occupation of this country, you know, that's in the back, you know, in the back desert. You know, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So Biden had to, it had to happen eventually. And we knew what would happen as a predicament, and the shame of it is that that Biden said that you know, believe me, you know, these aren't his words, but basically what he said was you won't see U.S. helicopters pulling people off the embassy to rescue them, and guess what, they're pulling people off the rooftop of the embassy. So
wow,
you know, he's gonna have you know, you gotta, folks around the world, we have to understand, there was no game plan in Afghanistan. What were we there to do? Kind of somehow implement a democracy? Somehow implement a government? You know, go into another country and install a government? That's not what the United States does.
That's what it seemed like.
We did it in Iraq. We weren't. That's not what we do. It cost us billions of dollars and sent the economy in the United States into a tailspin, ultimately, at the expense of $8 billion a month or something like that. But anyway, so we had to get out of there. And it's long overdue. We should have gotten out of there when Obama and Biden were the administration was in place before Trump came in. We should have gotten there a long time ago.
That's true.
Because what would how would the result then been any different than the result now? How would it, I'm asking. Anybody know the answer?
No, I'd like to say, but
No, it would have been no different. So I'm not holding this against Biden at all. He had to do this. And for people to say, oh, look, you know, oh, that decision. Well, what did you want to do, folks? Stay there? What did you want? Call us, 515-605-9888. Love to discuss it with you if you care. If you have a, if you have an opinion on the matter, we'd love to hear about it. Because, hey, you know, what do we know, right?
Yeah, we just
you guys have,
radio personality.
Yeah. We don't know nothing. Yeah.
So you guys have sent out another 500 soldiers to help the situation. You've already got 2,500 out there already helping, and they're sending out another 500 in the next few hours. So that's what they're reporting here, and they're saying an Afghan woman living in the UK spoke to her niece who lives in Kabul on BBC Radio Live earlier today and pleaded with her to stay safe, to stay indoors and not go out. I mean, yeah, this is such scary thing to see taking place. This is quite a sweeping question to ask, I guess, but what is the Taliban's purpose now? What is their way forward with this?
Well, they said the leader of the Taliban says that they now need to provide for the Afghanistan population, for the citizens there, to improve their lives.
Right.
I mean, which it sounds to me like, where were you 15 years ago? I don't know. It seems to me, hey, I don't know, maybe from whatever they, from their interpretation of stability, maybe that's what they're going to create there. Let them have their country. Go ahead. Do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And please no mass executions because of religious beliefs. You know, please don't do that. I hope we don't hear of that. You know, we have no room in amongst our species for that anymore.
Yeah.
And we never did.
No.
And we don't want to see a repeat. But who knows? Who knows? But the only thing we have now that we're taking control of, and as you said, 2,500 troops there, and we're sending in more, I don't know, is the control of the airport, because we got to get people out of there.
Yeah.
And the military has seized control of the airport and the air traffic control system, and they are having aircraft go in and out safely, and just hope that everybody gets out with no injury to them. Or, you know, so let's see what happens.
I heard a plane was shot down not long after taking off.
I didn't get that. I don't know. Is that
I briefly read it earlier, but obviously when they keep updating the news, I'm trying to find it again. But I just can't remember which plane it was. Biden's plane. What?
the plane was shot. I think it was. I don't think it was a plane. It wasn't a plane. No.
Well,
I got it. It was a. It was this guy.
Here I come to save the day.
It was a mouse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the mouse.
That guy was on the plane to Orlando.
Wow. You know what?
He
you
was?
Have a really good eye to shoot a mouse in the sky.
So, hey, Cornell, what is Orlando like there? And this is like I lived years ago. I lived in Florida, and summers were just next to intolerable. You think it's humid up in the Northeast. If you haven't lived in Florida in the summer or been there, man, you walk outside, it's just, you need oxygen tanks. It's so thick.
Wow.
It's so
hot. Well, actually, that's how I feel right now.
Are you going to go to are you going
Disneyland?
To Disney World? Yeah, are you
going to
go to Disney World?
Yes, I'm going to Disney World. Yes, I'm going there. The tickets are probably more than my car, but I'm still going to go. And I'm going to NASA.
Cool.
NASA. Oh, do me a favor, send us, because I like to post them, send us pictures of NASA. I remember going there. It's been so long. What a great place. That's a definitely worth traveling.
I have some pictures from the previous time I went. I'll just send them to you in my archives.
Yeah, send them to you. That is a lot of people wouldn't think about traveling to Florida and going to the Cape Canaveral, to the Space Center there, which is only an hour and a half or so from Orlando to east on the coast. And, you see the old, some of the old Apollo and Gemini capsules and some moon rocks. And, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing.
It's
does.
It's beautiful, man.
Yeah, and it makes you marvel at the incredible accomplishments that we have achieved, that we have achieved. And what we're doing now is and I'm discounting the billionaire's rocket. They go 50 miles up and they come back down. They experience weightless for 3 minutes, whatever, and they come back down. Oh, hey, that's fun. Oh, well, I'm good. They're selling tickets. Hey, you too, for $220,000 can become an astronaut. Woo! But we look at what SpaceX is doing, and bringing a spaceship up to space and having it land. Like used to see in cartoons and old black and white science fiction films, these big long rockets landing on their own power back down in a launch pad. It's incredible. It's absolutely amazing. And now they're talking about colonizing the moon and onward to Mars. It's just spectacular. And people say, what are we spending these these private companies are contracting with the government. They're getting paid by the government to facilitate. So the government's not in the business of making spaceships anymore. But I couldn't begin to count all of the technological, scientific breakthroughs that have benefited mankind here on Earth that were first experimented with and developed in the vacuum of space. Just it's many from pharmaceuticals to, I mean, just goes on. And maybe I should
Yeah.
someday on the show, but you know, and also you know what's on the moon and what's on Mars in terms of mining, and I mean, just you know, do your homework, folks. Look at it, but it's very very expensive, and people say, why don't we put that money into education and put that money into feeding the homeless and improving infrastructure, like they're saying, and here we are spending you know, billions of dollars going to. With a plan of going to Mars to send a few people up there. What the hell is that about? I understand that. Believe me, I get it. I do get that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Hey, you know, it's, you know, why climb the mountain? Because it's there. And I think we've always had a thirst to explore the universe, to explore the heavens, to see what else is beyond Earth.
Kennedy,
I think that's who we are.
I'm sorry.
You're right. Kennedy. Yeah. Yeah.
He's for that. He's like, no, we're not going to give up.
Yeah,
I think it's incredible the fact that you know we want to reach out that far and see what's on other planets and things like that. I think it's going to be great. Of course, certain things pop into my mind like, okay, so when we reflect on how much control and confliction we have between countries trying to race to power for certain things here on Earth, how much is that going to be taken into space and have domain over? You can't come, you know, so far out of space because, you know, one country owns this much, but there's no ownership of space, but then there should be no ownership of Earth, really, when you look at it. But, I mean, I guess there's going to be complications further down the line, right, with different countries trying to achieve the same result and get to certain places. And then if you manage to reach a planet one day, who has domain and of certain things and security? And it's just like, wow, how far is this really going to go with humanity and space travel and beyond that?
Would it be great in this fantasy world of mine that I like to pretend could exist is that if we as a population, humanoid, you know, our population, our species around the world, regardless of religious differences, cultural differences, ideological beliefs, political beliefs, blah, 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 we are all united into exploring the possibilities of creating a better life for everybody in the world together. Wouldn't that just be amazing? And if we were all here to put our beliefs aside and had a common goal of improving the environment on this earth and the capability of what we're able to do all together with common goals. And to an extent, that has been created at a micro level with the environmental summit, you know, like, you know, where countries around the world band together to say, we're going to make it a plan to clean the earth, to extend the viability of our species over a period of time. But there's different things like that. But it would just be great if we said, hey, let's find cures to diseases. I mean, putting COVID aside, you know, fight cancer, let's fight heart disease, let's fight poverty, and let's educate everybody, and let's, you know, no matter where you live on the planet, and it was a common goal that we all did this, and instead of having individual armies from different countries, we had an army around the world whose mission was to prevent mass extinction, you know, mass execution of a population of people because of those differences. You know, that army came into that country and said, hey, Mr. Dictator, you're out of here, we're not doing that. You know? But that can't happen, and it's, you know, this kind of idealistic fantasy in my head that we have the potential to achieve that as a species. And
I share the same fantasy, and it's always been my hope that, you know, we can, as you said, as a species, we have the ability to come together to make these changes. We all do. Mm-hmm. We have those moments, especially in a huge crisis. When you know, something is thrusted into our faces and it's dangerous and, you know, it leaves us feeling vulnerable, we all turn to each other. And it's unfortunate that we've got to be thrusted into a situation like that that then pushes us into that place. Honestly, you do get the minority of people that retaliate out of fear and turn on each other, sure, because fear is driving them more than love. But then you've got the vulnerability of within a lot of people that does get us turning to each other and united and saying, okay, yeah, we can achieve this together. Let's work together on this. We all have that ability to
Amanda,
do it.
Amanda.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, somebody listening to us saying, these people are sick.
Yeah. You know what? I say let him say it, because, you know.
Let him say it. Yeah, and then, of course, there's those who say, you know, we talk about space exploration, which I'm a proponent of, and people say, you know, life on other planets, and they get to this show, and they say, wait, you folks are talking about life on other planets? Wait, on the Andy and Manor show?
Yeah.
If you need to explore it, no further.
I guess
also,
we're in a world of our own.
And then also, if we just all got together and realized the most important thing there is amongst our species is let's just get right
down. Everybody say orgasm loud.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And maybe if more people add those, then we'd be a lot happier.
Yes.
I don't know, but we need to work together. But you know what really is frustrating me right now? I've got to be honest, guys. Like, I'm seeing in the news about Greece having more wildfires. So they've just had another outbreak of wildfires. Now, you hear about it in the US quite commonly because of the temperatures there that you guys have. So you don't usually hear about it in Europe. So when you know it's happening in Europe as well, then that suggests to us, well, this is becoming an extremely dangerous thing now. So they're talking about climate change, and now we're trying to move towards this goal by 2040. But, I mean, come on, 2040 is still so long away, and we're having these things increase year by year, getting more and more dramatic and dangerous. Mm. And I just think by 2040, we're just going to be on, if we're not on the brink already of such a dramatic and horrendous change, I just think that's it's too far away, and they need to work very quickly on doing something together. These governments need to pull their hats out of their asses, put them on and say, right, how can we make these changes and work together now and you know, put the right things in place and just, I don't know, I can't even get the words out today. I'm that frustrated about it. You know, it's one of those things I'm extremely passionate about. You can see these things happening in front of us and you feel so helpless, because on a individual level, we're making the effort. We're recycling our things. We're putting the rubbish in the trash when we see it. We don't leave things lying around in public. We're trying to cut the emissions down by buying electric cars. We're trying to do all these wonderful things to try and help our environment, but that's great on an individual level, but something needs to be done on a bigger level. And if you think about other countries like Japan and places like that, where they've got all those lights in the streets constantly burning 24/7 and all the energy that's being used. And so our energy sources need to be changed and improved. And the way we do things is just, there's so much we can do and so little changes, and
There's a whole lot more as a population that we can do, but
that would might leave in the minds of some of our viewers and listeners a connotation of which would be inaccurate.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, hey, I watched that movie. Sorry, go on. Yeah.
I was going to say that the I'm sure we all know now about the horrific earthquake that occurred in Haiti. The government there recently declared a state of emergency after a 7.2 magnitude earthquake struck the country, and that was on Saturday. There's at least, at last count, 1,297 people dead and over 5,700 people injured, and that's according to the country's Civil Protection Agency. Yeah, that's just absolutely horrific, and they're looking for assistance, and I'm sure they're going to get it. But it's one hell of a deal down there, over there, depending on where you live, I guess. But yeah, we'll be standing by to see how they recover from this. I'm thinking 2 years ago, maybe, I think around, I forget the date, but I remember visiting my mother, who doesn't live far from my house, in a five-story building, and we were sitting in her den, and suddenly that building started shaking and rattling like you see in the movies. It was incredible. Then it stopped, a couple of thuds, and then it picked up again a little while after. That was a 7-point-something magnitude earthquake that happened in the mountain regions, not far from L.A. at all. But California, I'm sure a lot of people know, they said, I'm not moving to California, you got an earthquake there. It's going to disappear, whatever. But we are right on a major fault. You know, we're close to a fault, actually a couple of them. And we're prone to earthquakes. A lot of people are saying, not when, but if the big one's going to come. You know, they had a huge one, you know, a long time ago. They had a big earthquake in San Francisco. Some of you might remember that. It was before our time. But anyway, the but California is built for it. You know, when they built high rises and structures and bridges and roadways, mm-hmm. they yeah. you know, homes. They as much as they can, they earthquake proof things. So when buildings shake and move and wobble, and I've been in them when that happens, and man, I got to tell you, it's like the movies. It's just like the movies. I got to tell you, it really is.
Wow.
But they withstand it. They withstand it. They're when they're structurally sound regarding earthquakes. It, I mean, if you know, if a gigantic, humongous earthquake came and split the earth, wherever, that obviously wouldn't hold. But I don't think that's going to happen. They say it might, but I'm not buy it. But you know, who knows? I did buy.
Yeah.
Just in case, might happen. I invested. Not only did I buy AMC, but I also bought a ton of property on the Nevada-California border, just in case California drops off into the ocean. I've got suddenly a ton of beachfront, and I'm going to build hotels and casinos. And you think Donald Trump, you watch what Andy Kimball does, I'll tell you. No.
Love it. Sign me up.
I'm ready. I don't know this. Right on that border between Nevada and California, so when California just separates and falls off the ocean,
yeah.
I've got all this beachfront property.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Hey, you're going to laugh at this, right? Talking about earthquakes, right? So this funny little story happened 3 years ago. So in the UK, we don't really get much of a big earthquake thing. We get tremors here, but the tremors can be quite big in nature and shake a lot of things. So I remember this was like 2003, and I was living out in this little cottage. I was like about 8 miles away, I think it was, from my family. And so I watched a horror movie, okay? I'd watched a horror movie before I went to bed. So I get into bed, sound asleep, and I'm waking up to my bed shaking. Just my bed. And bear in mind, it's this solid, solid wood bed frame that's really heavy. And I thought, how on earth is my bed shaking? I was freaking out. After just watching a horror movie, I thought, what the hell's going on? I'm being possessed or something. I was half asleep. Horrified, I ended up picking up the phone and calling my family, like, oh my god, my bed is shaking, oh my god, help me. They're like, relax, it's just a tremor. Like,
oh my gosh. Oh gosh. Yeah, it's something. I get it. Hey, you know Mike Lindell? I don't know if you know Mike Lindell there. We've mentioned his name. Mike Lindell is a guy, he's a former cocaine addict, bar owner, who developed this pillow and bought a whole bunch of time on cable television to promote his pillows and became a millionaire from the sale of pillows. And he's also been a promoter of the conspiracy, the lie that China came in to steal and manipulate the election in Biden's favor, and actually Trump won the election. Come on. I mean, how many times we beat that dead horse, huh? Trump lost the election. All right, it's a fact. Anyway, but he said he's got proof and hired security experts to prove it, cybersecurity experts to prove how the voting machines were all maneuvered by China and changed the votes to Biden when they should have been for Trump. Who the hell voted for Trump? I mean, obviously you got 60-some million votes or whatever it was, or 70 million, which is significant, but 8 million short of what Biden got, which is even more significant. And, of course, it was an electoral landslide in Biden's favor. But anyway, Lindell was supposed to have a big symposium over the weekend and present his proof, his cyber proof that the election was stolen. That doesn't make any difference because we know it's all bullshit. This guy who sells pillows on cable TV is suddenly a cyber expert and knows the election was stolen. Via CNN, I want to play a clip as to what happened during the symposium that he was supposed to present his facts that Trump won the election. Let's take a listen.
By China, and they flipped this election and down tickets to the tune of tens of millions. This is crazy. And all you have to do is come to the symposium.
For weeks, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell has been touting his so-called cyber symposium in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, claiming he would present data that would prove to the world China hacked the 2020 election and stole it from Donald Trump.
If you're correct, if you have that evidence.
No. Why, just forget about the evidence. If I'm right that China took our country right now, do you care? Would that bother you?
But
Would that bother you?
But you have to show the proof, right?
No, would that bother you?
Of course it would.
Okay, then why do you think I keep going? Do you think I like getting attacked?
Lindell invited the media and cyber experts to the symposium to vet his claims. We went along and brought Harry Hursty, a world-renowned cyber and voting machines expert.
If you see something in there, if you see some data that does seem legit, that does show that there was some sort of fraud, you're ready to investigate it, right?
Absolutely. I will follow the evidence wherever the evidence will go.
This was attacked. The whole technology was attacked.
So the conference was supposed to begin about an hour ago, but Lindell is having some problems with streaming live the event on his website. He's claiming, without any evidence, that it's because of an attack, that his systems have been attacked.
There's hacks and cyber attacks every day, as you can see.
And it went downhill from there. Lindell ultimately didn't produce the data to prove his claim the election was stolen by China.
I think the guy makes a wonderful pillow, but I wish some of this information would have been organized a little better.
Were you given any data at all from the 2020 election, anything useful, anything that would show any sort of fraud?
We were not given any kind of raw data which we would even be able to ask to start to look in that.
But if your stuff is legit, if the data is legit, wouldn't it be better for you to hand it over to as many cyber experts as possible?
You know what? I'll give you the answer. Because I've been told that they can go out there and corrupt it and make fake stuff and put fake news out. So I don't need your people to go out and doctor the evidence and put out on Mike Lindell's a conspiracy theory.
But you have been saying for months, media, experts, everybody, no, come, see the data.
We're showing it right on screen right now. So you can't sit here and do a hit piece when it's on screen right now.
To your knowledge, was anything on those screens proof of Lindell's claims that the election had been stolen?
Based on everything we found, that is meaningless. There was nothing there you can compare to draw any conclusions.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a computer guy. I don't know what most of this stuff means, but I've been researching this election since November 3rd. But the CNNs of the world, you guys need to start reporting this and stop fact-checking it.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Am I kidding me or what?
Right.
What I say is what I say.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
wow. Enough,
so much. I don't want to give him the respect of any time on this show that, you know, these are people he's promoting this lie. These people who go on and believing what he says are quite frankly stupid. And they're all, you know,
they're hugging and kissing.
Yeah. Each other. You know what I mean?
What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Oh my goodness. He was very full on, wasn't he?
God.
Say hello to my little friend.
Yeah, but you know, and then his, you know. So much for that. So much for that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We're enough, but
yeah. Have you had any more scam thingies? Because I keep getting those. I keep getting text messages. It's a big thing here in the UK at the moment of people getting text messages saying, your parcel was undelivered. Please click this link and pay £2.50 to have it re-delivered, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, unfortunately, people have been falling for that. I get several of those often.
There's a period of time where I was getting several a day, and they've probably, I don't know, my number must be on some kind of list. And I don't know how they, you know, it might be the same boiler shop, you know, the same shop where they have a big room with a bunch of people in cubicles on phones, you know, scamming all these Americans via phone numbers that they hijack, and then those phone numbers are found by various entities and disconnected, and they go find other phone numbers that and make it appear that they're calling from places within the United States. But yeah. I guess there must be some kind of list, which I somehow got on, I was getting a lot of calls, and it stopped. I don't know what happened. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm looking for more because we do have a segment of our show. We create shows called Katz the Skimmer, and we play along with these people, and it's just so much fun. It's so much fun. But I haven't been able to do it in a while because they haven't called.
There's this poor couple in the UK. Yeah.
Right.
Poor couple here in the UK.
That's okay. There's a million scammers out there, and we are going to catch you.
Yeah. Give this man a beer.
Yeah.
This couple in the UK called Tom and Freya Cuff, bless them, they're from Somerset, which is like the southwest of the UK.
Yes.
They received a text about a parcel, bless them. And so, because this was during the COVID, but everything was going crazy, we're on lockdown and everybody was on loads of things delivered all the time. So they just thought, okay, well, they thought nothing of it, clicked the link and paid the £2.50. And then they had a call from their bank, or claiming to be their bank, saying, okay, well, because of these scammers, it's advised that we move your money over to somewhere else to protect it from being targeted further. And this couple, unfortunately, followed with that as well, and they lost about £2,500 in their savings. That's crazy. Bless them. So,
hey,
yeah,
speaking of scammers, there's...
I hear there's rumors on the... Internets.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, how about, again, I will mention his name, Donald Trump, with Trump University, a real estate program that he expected you to invest $35,000 for the most incredible education in how you can become a millionaire by buying and flipping real estate, which was a scam. He scammed many people for $35,000. He was sued in a class action suit, which he had settled out of court before his presidential campaign to avoid that. You know, being dragged to the media, he had to pay out $25 million. Speaking of scammers, how is his scam any different from anybody else's scam?
As we mentioned, Donald Trump today ordered his supporters to continue attacking the judge overseeing a class action lawsuit against him regarding his defunct real estate education program, Trump University. Now, the current lawsuit that's getting all the attention regards Trump University. First, some specifics of the case itself. Trump University was founded in 2005, promising to teach people how to make money off real estate. But as the Washington Post reported, it wasn't even a university or even a school. It was just a series of seminars held in hotel ballrooms across the country that promised attendees they could get rich quick, but were mostly devoted to enriching the people who ran them. They held seminars in hotels and called it a university. So it basically had the same logic as going to a Holiday Inn Express for medical school. Trump University is the subject of two class action lawsuits by thousands of students who claim they were defrauded, and a separate suit filed by the New York Attorney General. And last week, a judge in one of those cases ordered the release of internal Trump University documents that reveal some of the unsavory methods salesmen used to convince clients to buy Trump University products.
Newly released court documents reveal damning accusations against the man who, in a little more than a month, will officially become the Republican nominee for president.
These court documents, filled with former Trump University staffers calling it a scheme and a fraud and a, quote, total lie.
The documents also include a company playbook that urged the sales team to push hard to enroll students even when they were financially strapped, down even to a single mother of three who, quote, may need money for food.
Sales techniques weren't the only questionable part of Trump University. There were also the instructors who Trump promised to handpick, but as a former Trump University employee told the Washington Post, quote, the Trump University instructors and mentors were a joke. And in true Trump style, not only were they a joke, but many of them had gone through bankruptcy themselves.
CBS News found three of those instructors had previously filed for bankruptcy. Others, like Smith's instructor James Harris,
people call me the money motivator,
were motivational speakers paid on commission to sell additional Trump training.
In fact, that same instructor told the Washington Post, quote, here is the truth. When I was at Trump University, I had not one interaction with him ever, not one. And when Trump was personally named in the lawsuit, how did he, the man who claimed he would be directly involved in handpicking the instructors, respond?
First, he says, you know, I'm going to handpick your professors. I'm intimately involved.
That's what he tells
I'm
the customers.
Teach you. That's what he tells the customers. Then, when he gets sued personally, his lawyers immediately move to remove him personally, and their language is he was largely absent from the company.
He was largely absent. His name was on. And if your name is on the school, you should at least have the decency to show up graduation to give the commencement speech.
Congratulations. You're all losers.
And that was somebody running for and becoming president of the United States. Let's think about that for a second. Let's think about that. Here we are. I just thought of it. we're talking about catching scammers. We're having fun with it. These people think Americans are stupid, and you know that's you know. But I'm telling you,
I promised American people help was on the way.
Yes, via the Andy Manor Show, we're catching these people one at a time. But you know, there's Donald Trump with Trump University, and there's no university. He was not even really supposed to use that name because that was fraud too. You can't just say, yeah, I'm a university. But anyway, and he scammed many thousands, hundreds, I don't know, many, many people out of $35,000, in many cases their life savings, to take a real estate course with the best instructors handpicked by Donald Trump, which never happened, that are going to show you how to become very wealthy via real estate transactions. And it was a scam.
Yeah.
It was a lie.
Yeah,
he got sued. He lost. He settled for $25 million. How is that scam any different?
Well, this is true.
You scam somebody out of money. You scam somebody out of money. Who cares if it's a real estate course or a fake what was it? Fake Publishers Clearinghouse winning. That's a scam. They're all scams. Think about it.
Well, yeah. Valid point there, Mr. Kimball. Valid point.
Mm-hmm.
The human element has been removed.
Yeah. This has come down to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
The fact that these places can exist, though, like these rooms or businesses set up to just call people all over the world and text them just to try and get all this money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how are these places not being by the police and things like that? I mean, surely they must be aware of these things, and I don't know.
It's unbelievable.
I just think in this day and age, how is that possible to exist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because things get monitored, the internet gets monitored, phone calls get monitored. So, you know, if this company is calling out to all these people and able to take money off them and then going into their bank accounts and stuff like that, you know, I don't see how that can be like a suspicious activity that a bank doesn't pick up on.
Well, we know
that these people are using.
It's a Democrat hoax.
Yeah.
hey, Cornell. Cornell, you still with us? You're not outside now, right? You're inside an air conditioned place somewhere.
Actually, I'm inside a rental car. I can't be outside, man. It's so hot. It's unbelievable hot out here.
Wow.
Mm. Are you going to be in line?
And Amanda, oh my gosh. I never felt heat like this in my life.
Wow.
Well, I hope it doesn't take away from the enjoyment of your week over in Orlando.
Well, when I go to Walt, it's not. It's just, oh my gosh, it's hot out here. And people out here have on pants. And
wow.
They have no pants?
Yes.
I understand that scientists will soon make it possible.
Yeah, wow, I like that.
I can't believe it. They out here wearing jeans, Andy.
Oh.
Wow. I guess I have to protect their skin, though, right, if it's so hot, because it's going to be burning like a bitch. I mean, wow. But, yeah, jeans makes you even hotter, so...
No, these people are sick.
Even out, they're so used to the weather that it just doesn't affect them like everybody else.
Oh my gosh! I mean, they're not wearing like light jeans. They're wearing the Lee jeans, the Wrangler jeans.
Oh, really?
Not the Wrangler Lee, but the cowboy jeans type of shit.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm.
Incredible.
You know, I was going to say something. I don't remember what it was. I had it. Oh, man, I was going to ask you a question. Darn. Oh yeah, I wanted to plug this because I wanted to bring attention to you, my internet wife and partner over there in the UK, who is I don't mention this enough.
Amanda Love.
Search for her by name. Is an incredibly talented composer and musician, and even though we do this Andy and Amanda show, we have a lot of fun with it and get to share our thoughts and ideas and so forth. You know, we're not professional journalists by any means, but somehow we've been doing this for a year and a half and have thousands of listeners and followers from around the world. But when it comes right down to it, the day gig, so to speak, is music, and Amanda is quite talented, and Cornell, who, by the way, who's this guy?
Thank
Cornell,
you.
Some of you might not be that familiar with the show who joined us more recently. Cornell, person who put Amanda and I together. We have never met, the three of us. None of us have ever met, and which kind of adds to the uniqueness of what we do here. And we've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of really interesting guests from all walks of life and all sorts of careers and professions. That's what we do on the Andy and Amanda Show. And I encourage everybody to go to andyandamandashow.com and listen to even some of the archives. Some shows we dive into the news more heavily, like I guess this show. Sometimes we get outright silly and we talk about life and issues of life and sex and romance and boyfriends and girlfriends and girlfriends and girlfriends and boyfriends
sex.
And boyfriends and husbands and wives and sons
sex.
And daughters and motivation and religion and sex and
yeah.
and more sex.
It all leads
you
back to sex.
It really does. But we have what's this mean? We have 60 seconds left. We have about another minute left of our show, I guess. And this has been a blast. And again, if you want to get on the show as a guest, or if you know somebody who might make an interesting guest for us to have on the show and entertain the discussion, email andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Feel free to join our show when we're live. We know most of the population of listeners hear it as a podcast, not as a live radio show on Blog Talk Radio. But if you want to join us, we're at 515-605-9888. We're on Mondays at 5 p.m. in the UK, that would be noon in the East Coast, and of course 9 a.m. in the Pacific Coast. Wednesdays and Fridays, we're on at noon Pacific Coast, 3 p.m. in the East Coast, New York time, and of course 8 p.m. in the UK. Amanda, this has been a blast.
Yes, Alan.
Cornell, thank you for joining us from Orlando. I hope you get to join us on Wednesday's show as well. From there, let us know how you've been making out in the heat there.
I'm going to try to get an interview with Mickey Mouse.
Please do. And also, we want to know about Disney World and how the rides are and so forth. I haven't been there in ages. So we'll talk to you more about Disney World on Wednesday. And that being said, everybody, all the best. Thanks for tuning in. Amanda, why don't you go ahead and take us home?
Absolutely, darling. So on behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Amanda Love, here in the UK, thank you, Cornell, from your destination in Florida right now. And thanks to everybody listening. We love you. Thank you again. And join us again on Wednesday for some more banter and all sorts. So take care. Keep smiling and stay safe. Look after yourself. We love you.
Don't get the idea. It was mere entertainment.
People are sick.
and one question I want to get everybody to take into Wednesday's show.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
if you listen to the right show, you know what I mean? Hey, folks. Take care. We'll see you Wednesday. All the very best. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye, guys.